Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Sherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Tuesday, April 2nd. It is indeed Kale and Company, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube. As we head until 10 o'clock this morning, 855-839-1210 is how you jump in on social media. At 1210 WPHT, I am at Nick Kale. Dawn Stensland with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony DiRenzo. Our associate producers, absolutely loaded Tuesday show. Dawn, good morning. How are you?
Woo, doing great this Tuesday.
Are we packed yet?
We are jam-packed.
You jam your luggage, your suitcase, everything ready to go?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, no.
No?
News packed.
News packed.
Company packed.
Okay. Close. But not Italy packed.
Not Italy packed.
All right. Fair enough. Gregory, how are you?
When do you exactly pack? I'm just curious about this. Do you have, like, everything?
Thursday at midnight.
Do you have a list of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're going to be gone for, like, 2 weeks or 10 days or something.
I'm the lightest packer in my house.
Yeah. Just relax. She'll be fine.
I didn't say she wouldn't.
Heck, it's
household full of boys and men. You think she can't handle a trip to Italy? Layup city for her. Like a lot like Caitlin Clark last night. How'd that game turn out for all those LSU fans? We'll get to that a little bit later this morning. Very interesting identity politics twist to last night's women's Elite Eight basketball game that we'll get to. Also this morning, a big take on the epidemic of truancy in the United States. All these utes that don't want to go to class. We'll get to that this morning. And whether or not the government should punish parents. That's coming up in the big take. Also, maybe the best article I've ever read from an entertainment standpoint from Politico on the No Labels Party and a different route that they should take, according to this writer.
Stop.
Well, stopping would be nice. Waving the white flag.
We will make our decision by March.
Yeah.
We will make our decision by the end of March. But we will make our decision by the 1st of April. Here we are, April 2nd.
Just give us till Memorial Day and we will have our guy or gal.
What a fraud that whole organization is.
We'll get to that.
Peace.
Also, have you ever wanted to block your boss from contacting you after work hours?
Yes. What? Who said that?
We'll get to this story. Also, a large amount of adults that are extremely lonely that go days on end without face-to-face human interaction.
Oh, God, we are doomed as a society.
We're going to fix society today, I think.
I know I joke about that, but that is really, really, really unhealthy.
Incredibly unhealthy.
Incredibly unhealthy.
I'm telling you, human beings do not do well in social isolation. I've believed that for a long time. We have the data to prove it. The cut sheet will be loaded, and also how a third party will factor into determining the state of Pennsylvania when it comes to the general election. All of that on tap this morning, and all sorts of other good tidbits along the way. But let's get to the news. Round number one, right out of the gate at 6:04. She's not packed for Italy, but she's packed to deliver the news. The great Dawn Stensland.
Packed for you this Tuesday morning, April 2nd. 47 degrees, miserable, rainy, and the rain, well, there's no end in sight. It's just rainy and miserable, and it's only going to get worse. What can I say about the forecast? We are sponsored this morning by Best Work Industries for the Blind, and my condolences if you're a commuter who takes I-95.
It's just the worst.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can't with this. I can't with never being able to take 95.
What happened now? With your commute coming in directly impacted?
So yesterday in the afternoon, a big truck hit the overpass.
Yeah, I saw that
with something.
Oh, that's your path too, huh?
And it damaged the bridge. So now it's like that portion of 95 is closed for days, weeks, whatever.
Another bridge that has been struck.
Yeah.
Are we picking up on a pattern here? Are people having questions?
I'm so sorry. I-95 commuters.
Yeah. It's going to suck.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
So it's northbound. It's this Port Richmond truck hit the overhead bridge, and it's a hot mess. These are significant delays and detours.
By the way, truck drivers, if you know you can't make it, pull over. Do some. I don't know. Like, know your load while you're when you're seriously. My stepfather drove truck for 50 years. He never had an issue with this.
He knew his load.
Know your load.
Boys, I need that on the board stat.
Words of wisdom.
I feel bad for you guys. I don't have to take 95 ever in my life unless I, you know, I'm going to, you know, something down this way. But, oh, I feel for all of you out there. I really do.
It hit that over Conrail Bridge. This happened, by the way, 1:30 yesterday afternoon. Also, as a result of the crash, this also affects the Atlantic City Rail Line service. That's suspended in both directions because, obviously, that overhead bridge carries, you know, the AC rail line. So you got those commuters impacted, and that's suspended in both directions between Philadelphia's 30th Street Station and Cherry Hill, New Jersey. So they're trying to do shuttle buses to try to help folks out. They've been working since yesterday to repair the damaged railway bridge that crosses over the interstate. Those repairs also expected to take several days. And so everybody's talking about it this morning. Add the rain, add everything that's happening, and you see what we're saying. Major delays. Two lanes of the interstate shut down for hours before complete closure happened starting at 10 o'clock last night. And according to PennDOT, these northbound I-95 lanes, they're going to be closed and detoured approaching the Betsy Ross Bridge, Aramango Avenue interchange while these repairs are made. And yes, folks, this is going to take days. Unfortunately, the ramp from Castor Ave to I-95 northbound is also closed and being detoured during other construction. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
everybody's going to take 76.
Yeah.
And 76 is going to be a gem nightmare.
Yes.
Is this a case for
Mayor Pete?
And where's the governor, Josh Shapiro? Second time in less than a year, he's going to have to address infrastructure on 95.
Well, engineers came out yesterday and looked at it, and they're like, no, this needs to be repaired. So I'm sure they'll work on it as quickly as they can, but I just...
In the pouring rain.
Come on.
I know.
Sorry.
What are we doing?
Yes.
Like, I get it. Accidents happen, but Jesus. Come on. Stop.
Yep.
By the way, just an update. Temple University officials say the school is stepping up its police presence on campus even more after that group of up to 60 youths, the juveniles, gathered and shots were fired right near campus. It's the most recent large gathering sparking police activity near campus. Shots fired along the 1500 block of Seidemann Street in North Philadelphia. That happened on Sunday. Now, nobody was injured in that one, but, you know, they put out all the alerts to students. And keep in mind, right now, this is when high school seniors are finding out and making their decisions of where they're going to college.
Mm-hmm.
And so the timing of all of this matters.
Oh, yes. The 18-year-olds opening up letters, anxiety at an all-time high. Did I get in? Did they reject me?
Yes.
I remember those days.
Yeah, so they are doing a lot of public relations, saying that they're beefing up police, etc. So that's it. Temple University campus. It seems like it's every week, unfortunately. We do have WrestleMania coming soon.
Hey-o.
I heard
now,
that.
Two issues. Events taking place. Today's April 2nd. This is April 4th through the 8th. Lincoln Financial Field and the Wells Fargo Center and the PA Convention Center. There are some looming issues because traveling to the South Philadelphia Sports Campus, how are we going to do that? Fans can take the Broad Street line to NRG Station for all events at the Lincoln Wells Fargo Center. And then there's a free transfer transfer to the Broad Street line from the Market, Frankfurt line, and the city trolley routes. They're going too. The deal is that we have some looming strikes that we have to think about that we've talked about with the different workers who have threatened a strike. So we have to think about that, and hopefully they settle everything, and as well the traffic situation.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, the Phillies go on the road this Friday to Washington. Could you imagine 95 being the issue it is and having WrestleMania at the football stadium and the Phillies at the baseball stadium?
That's so true.
It would be a nightmare.
So, could be worse.
Could be worse.
Well, what's that? So, they're doing SmackDown at the Wells Fargo Center.
On Friday.
They're doing the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yep. And then Saturday and Sunday, the Eagles Stadium will hold night one and night two of WrestleMania.
Monday is Raw here, too?
That I don't know. It'll probably be here in New York, somewhere within, you know, an hour driving distance.
Man.
Yeah. It's going to be a traffic disaster.
So nobody hit the winning Powerball numbers drawn last night for that billion. We're already back to $1 billion.
Wow.
In this. So nobody, no tickets sold matched those numbers that were drawn last night. And so what does that mean? That means that there's a new jackpot that could be another record jackpot for Wednesday night's lottery.
And you said last week, what, somebody in New Jersey hit five out of six?
Well, somebody hit all six.
Oh, hit all six. Okay.
We haven't heard who that is.
Okay.
But then, there was somebody in New Jersey, at least one person in New Jersey, who hit five.
Yeah.
Which is $1 million.
It's a nice day.
Yeah. How about that? Mm-hmm. Payday. So Wednesdays will be $1.09 billion. Could be the fourth largest Powerball prize ever.
And just think, that's 1/60th of what Zelensky gets from Biden, if you're tracking at home.
Well, that was like I was trying to bring you something uplifting.
Sorry.
And then we have to think about how much money we're giving Ukraine as the deficit goes higher. But the good news is we are sponsored by Best Work Industries for the Blind. Seriously, they're changing lives. Nonprofit organization located right in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Best Work Industries for the Blind, providing training as well as employment for people who are blind or visually impaired. So for employment opportunities or if you want to donate, bestworkindustries.org, bestworkindustries.org. I have no good news for you. The radar screen looks like a big green blob as far as this forecast, and it goes all the way up until Friday.
Mm.
So it's only going to get worse. It's like a green blob and then yellow and then red. It's ugly.
It's just ugly. Blob.
and we're actually a little cooler today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're not, yesterday, at least we were in the 50s. Right now, we're what, 47? It'll never feel like we get out of 50 until Friday. And then the sun will come out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Next week, we could be up to the 70s.
Yes.
So hang on there because the nice weather's coming.
Masters week.
Ooh.
Yep.
Nick Cale will be golfing by next Tuesday.
You're darn right I am, Dawn. Take that to the bank. When you're in Italy sipping vino, I'm going to be putting up an 8 on the scorecard and getting drunk.
Woo! Good times to come. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:13 on this Tuesday morning. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it's brought to you by First Harvest Credit Union. The Big Take this morning, truancy and the epidemic in America. You know, when it pertains to the education department, teachers union, and school districts overstepping their bounds with children and the parents who raise them, I have long had a major issue with that concept. Teachers are not meant to indoctrinate. Teachers are meant to educate. I also do not believe that the government should step in and remove a child from a home over a gender identity crisis. The government and schools are not raising my children. No matter how many times Kamala Harris wants to utter phrases like children of the community. My wife was a social worker for over 15 years, so I'm well aware of what caseworkers step into, and I'm all for them stepping in and protecting an abused or neglected child. No question about that. But there are times when it's necessary for a third party to intervene, and there are times when it's not their right, in my viewpoint. I think it's a case-by-case situation. I'm also against the government banning social media apps to protect children. We need less government and better parents, as I said last week. That being said, a very interesting story is developing and coming out of Washington, D.C., where chronic absenteeism and truancy are out of control. According to data for the 2022-2023 school year, D.C. high school students were absent 60% of the time last year. I want you to think about that for a moment. High school students missing on average 6 out of every 10 days of class. Washington, D.C. schools are considering parent punishment if this continues. Here's Mike Emanuel of Fox News with the following report. Listen and watch this.
Bill, good morning. The Washington, D.C. mayor says she wants to hold parents accountable if their children are skipping school on a regular basis. Mayor Muriel Bowser says that does not mean throwing parents in jail, suggesting there's a way of tightening up the system. This after three girls between 12 and 13 years old allegedly beat a disabled 64-year-old man to death after chasing him down an alley. Investigators say the girls allegedly stomped Reggie Brown to death, and all three have longstanding truancy issues. The judge in the case noting one of the suspects had not attended a single day of class this year. This morning, the D.C. mayor insisted some of the action taken by city leadership on overall crime is having an impact.
We moved an emergency piece of legislation last summer when we recognized some pretty disturbing crime trends. Making those actions permanent with Secure DC is driving down crime in DC. Your violent crime is down. Robbery and carjacking is down. Use of a gun is down.
Violent crime in our nation's capital has gotten the attention of Congress, with some lawmakers calling for city leaders to do more.
So what we have seen is a lack of enforcement of the laws that are already on the books. We've seen the police demoralized as a result of that. We need to make sure that they have the resources they need in Washington, D.C. And then the political leaders here need to have the political courage to actually be tough on crime.
Regarding the new chronic skipping school issue here in Washington, D.C., it's not clear if this new proposal will have actual teeth.
There is no doubt that we have a problem with kids and the notion of school somehow becoming optional post-pandemic. And according to the American Enterprise Institute, here was the percentage of truancy and chronic absences in America's classrooms pre- and post-pandemic. In 2016/2017, during that school year, 13% truancy. In 2017-2018, it climbed to 15%. In 2018-2019, it stayed flat at 15%. In 2019-2020, it dipped back down to 13%. In the year of the pandemic, 2020/2021, there was no reliable data. But the last 2 years have been alarming. In 2021-2022, nationwide absenteeism rose to 28%. And just last year for 2022-2023, it was at 26%. Essentially, we have seen absences double from the pre-COVID days to the post-COVID days. And there is this creation, and I believe that this is the exact result of our academic leaders who made the impression that school became optional. Remote learning was the equivalent of in-person learning, which we realized quickly it was not. And that you could somehow stay home, not attend class, and you wouldn't fall behind. Or flat out lose the desire to go to school each and every morning. This concept of punishing parents for truancy isn't new. Washington, D.C. considered this just 11 years ago. Per the Washington Examiner in 2013, five D.C. lawmakers introduced a measure to punish parents of public school students who skipped 10 or more times a year. Fewer than half of D.C. public school students were rated proficient in either math or reading on their D.C. Comprehensive Assessment System standardized test last year, and only 56% graduated high school within 4 years. Under the current law, a parent whose child has two or more unexcused absences a month can be found guilty of a misdemeanor and be forced to pay a fine of up to $500 or spend 2 days in jail. Now, that story is from 2013. Now, let's fast forward 11 years later to 2024 and think about that 60% absent rate in D.C. high schools. Maybe it's time to enforce the law since, I don't know, you already have the law on the books. I know that's a wild concept and shocking to say. Blue cities actually enforcing laws that have been enacted, but it's happening in 2024 in other places throughout America. Let me take you to the Washington Post. This story from January of this year. Quote, some parents are prosecuted or fined when children miss school. A judge in Missouri sentenced a single mother to jail when her kindergartner missed school. Student truancy can still go to court, read the headline, and here are some details of this story. The 5-year-old missed school for a doctor's appointment. The next day, he had a fever. Once, his mother had car trouble, and the boy had missed a day. Another time, his family fell sick with COVID-19. And then there was the day he missed school when his mother brought him to his brother's medical appointment, knowing she would not make it to school pickup on time. The kindergartner racked up 14 absences in 5 or so months, half of them without explanation, according to his Missouri school district, which steered the case to prosecutors. His mother, Tamara LaRue, was convicted of violating the state's compulsory attendance law, a verdict that the state Supreme Court upheld several months ago. The episode ultimately sent LaRue to jail for 15 days, her case showing some of the more punitive stakes as chronic student absenteeism remains at near record highs, and many areas around the country seek to combat the problem. Based on the details of that specific case, I'm not overly in love with the punishment, as this case seems to have many shortcomings of a family with a single mother struggling to run a household. But the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the school and the laws being enforced, so I certainly respect that decision. Where I would love to see schools and prosecutors get tough on truancy is with middle schoolers, junior high schoolers, and high school students missing school, then committing crimes because they're roaming the streets from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. or later. But herein lies, I think, the catch-22. Some kids not only have bad parents, but parents that are virtually non-existent or not a part of the equation, and no other family members are around to care for them if you prosecute and jail the parents. Then the cold, hard truth of life hits you right in the face. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. You get what you're dealt in this lifetime when it comes to that regard. But if we are to save an entire generation from skipping school, zoning out on social media, and failing to gain the education and social skills necessary that provide you with a foundation for life, then we're failing an entire generation. I think each case is case-by-case specific, but I am not against intervention if it means getting kids back on track before they become useless adults and a drain and a burden to society. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it's brought to you by First Harvest Credit Union. You can build stronger financial roots with First Harvest Credit Union. Open a growth savings account and earn as high as 3.5% annual percentage yield while having flexible access to your funds. Visit firstharvestcu.com for details. Membership restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210, the Kale and Company comment community on YouTube, or of course on social media at 1210 WPHT. We'll continue with this conversation on the other side, and just how bad is it in Pennsylvania specifically? That's coming up next. Nick, Dawn, and Greg on a Tuesday morning. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You've heard me talk about my friends from Piazza Premium Automobiles and Piazza Auto Group for years now. Well, at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they continue to grow their luxury collection of brands. And now Piazza welcoming in their two newest members to their family of dealerships, Infiniti Ardmore and Maserati of the Mainline, both located right there on Lancaster Avenue. You're going to receive the same first-class customer experience you've come to expect from Piazza. Find your new or certified pre-owned Infiniti, Maserati, or other Piazza luxury brands like Jaguar, Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and so much more. Plan that summer road trip with a little help from my friends at Piazza. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. Gutsche coming up 7:45. Took a little gander. You will hear from and see RFK Jr., Hillary Clinton, and many others. Hillary Clinton also saying, oh, just get over yourselves already, people. These are your options, and you will like it, and you will take it. It's an easy choice.
For as much as the country tells her and the Clintons that we do not like you,
we fundamentally reject you.
She still trots out on these. They still bring her out on these Tonight shows.
Oh, yeah.
And she still talks like she's some authority.
Treated like she's the Queen of England.
Even though she's won absolutely nothing.
That's
literally
correct.
Nothing. Literally. I mean,
well,
I know
she was a senator.
I know she was a senator. But never president, never vice president.
Yeah.
I know she was Secretary of State, but that's, you're not elected for that.
That's true. So, you're appointed.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to that. Also, no labels. What route will they take?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
That was a good impersonation.
Yeah, he hates her.
And even Bill Clinton knows that you have to know your load, as Greg Stocker said in the opening segment.
Yeah, I was talking about the trucks.
That's correct.
Talking about the trucks.
A lot of trucks in Arkansas.
Yeah.
All right, so I got to get to this story. And this is obviously a follow-up to the big take, because I found this just to be so fascinating. I just remember as a kid, I mean, my parents did not let me get away with, I mean, I legitimately needed to have a fever or you know, the runs. I mean, like, I legitimately, like, there was none of these, oh, I'm just a little, run down, I'm tired, I don't want to go. Like, that didn't fly in my household growing up, and Kristen and I pretty much make sure that doesn't fly with our girls today. But some of these numbers are just alarming. A little follow-up to that story in Missouri with the kindergartner and the mom that got sent to jail for 15 days. According to the Washington Post, the kindergartner racked up 14 absences in 5 or so months, half of them without explanation. I don't know how they do it anymore, but you used to have to, like, call a phone number and say, hey, little Johnny's going to be out today. I don't know if they do it, like, through an app or a portal these days. But they also point out some of the numbers across the country that prove that this is an epidemic. More than 14.7 million students across the country were considered chronically absent in 2021/2022, and it's 80% higher than before the pandemic. Chronic absenteeism typically means missing at least 18 days of school a year, or 10%, whether it's excused or unexcused absences. Quote, there is a crazy number of kids that still end up in the juvenile justice system because of truancy, said Robert Balfons, a professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Education. Now, when they talk about the differences on a state-by-state basis, they actually give you the definition of what is acceptable in Pennsylvania compared to one of our counter states in Maryland. 3 missed school days with no excuse can make a student truant in Pennsylvania. Just 3 days of unexcused absences. But it can take 15 days within a semester in the state of Maryland. In Mobile County, Alabama, the district attorney's office sent nearly 53,000 letters to families last year of school-age children warning about excessive unexcused absences. And outside of Knoxville, Tennessee, Dan Jenkins, a principal of Clinton High School, recalls a time, maybe 15 years ago or so, when approaches to truancy were far more punitive. Now, he said, a student can still land in court, but only after repeated interventions have failed. Quote, we try to help the kid and the family first. Dawn, I'm going to go out on a limb here, make an assumption, and venture out into the land of the unknown. But I'm willing to bet there was never a truancy problem for the children that you and Larry have raised. There's never been a truancy problem with my daughters. But what's the solution to this? Because it really does seem, and I know everyone's like, oh, we just can't blame everything on the pandemic. Well, the numbers don't lie. I mean, truancy has just skyrocketed after the return from virtual learning. The last time I checked, by and large, going to school was not optional as a kid. You were kind of required to do so until you eventually dropped out.
I think there are a few different issues. Obviously, the issue of if somebody's a teenager, because we've talked about in Philadelphia, so there's not a school bus where you see your kid get on the school bus.
Right.
They walk over to the, you know, they take SEPTA. So that's another issue that I have. I'm telling you, part of this issue is school kids taking SEPTA.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they save money on it, but I don't really think they do.
Right.
Quite frankly.
Well, and imagine if you skip school if you don't have a school bus, you're a parent, you see your kid, he's walking down the street to get to, you know, the public transportation. You just assume that the destination is school.
Yep.
But once he gets on that transit, you have no idea really where the kid's going.
Yeah. Because they could be going anywhere in the city.
Be going to the mall with graffiti some walls like Stocker used to do in 94.
So the one issue I will have is that, you know, in suburban schools and private schools, if your kid is not in homeroom, you buzzers and sounders are going, you're getting your phone is lighting up.
So you're notified pretty quickly.
You are notified immediately because they're thinking, is the kid, did the kid fall asleep on the school bus? Where is the kid? Did something, they're thinking something bad happened.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't this kid here? And the parent hasn't already called the school or emailed or something to give a heads up that they're sick today.
Yep.
And so just the difference in that situation, that it's an emergency. It's, well, where are they? What?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had a situation where David, when he was like 7 years old, he fell asleep on the school bus. You know, it's, that does happen.
He ended up back in the school bus parking lot?
So not quite. Okay. They caught it. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's that fast.
Yeah, it is.
And so that's the difference. In the public schools, the law, as you were reading the law, if they're truant, you have to notify the parent in writing within 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
And so right there's a disconnect. And so that's for the older kids I'm talking about.
Yeah.
For younger kids, it's on the parents. For anybody under 14, I would say, it's really all on the parents.
Yeah.
And so in some states, they will say if the parent is on any kind of aid, and this is controversial,
mm-hmm.
They're going to threaten any kind of aid. We need to work together. You're not following the law. We need you to get your kid to school.
I like the difference in the age breakdown, younger versus older, the way you laid out. But I feel like, not everybody's household is the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, like that kindergartner where the mom had to take the other kid to the doctor's appointment. And then I'm assuming, they say in the article that, she wasn't going to make it back in time for pickup. So you just took the kid out of school for the day. Maybe the mom doesn't have a grandmother or somebody else or a babysitter, whatever it might be. But I feel like there's a difference between maybe a single mom or a single dad that is mm-hmm. struggling, maybe works two or three jobs and is just trying to make ends meet and get to the end of each and every day as whole as possible, versus the neglectful, delinquent, just piece of garbage parent that might be like coked up and passed out on the couch that has no idea where their kid is. So
yeah.
I think it depends on the intention and what also is going on in the parent's life, like deadbeat versus parent grinding it out and just can't always be there 24/7.
Yeah, the mom you described, that to me was ridiculous.
That was with a kindergartner.
That was insane. And because if you have little kids and maybe she has one with asthma, something chronic, she's got to get to the doctor. And I don't know if she has a car. Is she taking public transit? All of that matters to me. And so that one seemed ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they should be working with a mom like that who's not a truant person. She's a good mom. She wants her kids to go to school. Maybe she made a poor decision by just not communicating.
Mm-hmm.
But that seemed over the top to me.
Yeah. I'm surprised at how long it takes to notify some parents as well, because you get notified right away. Stalker will deal with this when his kid gets to school eventually. With the Nashville Public Schools, we get an automated voicemail. And it somehow just automatically goes to my voicemail on my phone. It rings once I see the school and it just stops and they leave you like this computer generated, Mia has an absence for October 5th, 2023. And we get like a text message alert. And there actually has been a time or two where they've both been in class and it was like a computer glitch where we got the notification of your daughter has an absence today. And we're like, No, Kristen was like, no, she got on the bus, or I dropped her off today, because sometimes my wife will drive them and do
your
the drop-off
heart,
thing.
Like, takes a beat.
Yeah, you're what? Like, what happened? Did the bus crash? Did my daughter get abducted getting off the way? Like, what are we doing here? Did she just not go to homeroom? Is she smoking cigarettes out in the parking lot? What are we doing here? So some of these messages that get totally screwed up by, automated electronics.
Yeah, and for us, we went to the little school, Norwood Fompon Academy. Sister Mary Helen would call you. The first thing they would say, nothing's wrong. David and Michael are fine. Or for you, it would be, Olivia's fine. Or, but it was very personal, very, it was immediate. And that's just it. I think part of it, Nick, is that we've gotten away from these small community schools where the kids can walk to a school. And to me, everything's institutionalized.
Mm-hmm.
Whether this is suburban or city, quite frankly. But it used to be, and in many areas still, the kids walk to a local community school. Everybody knows each other, the parents, the community. There's a real sense of community.
Yep.
And I think we need to evaluate that as well.
I agree.
We've institutionalized schools. They look like prisons, mm-hmm. quite frankly, sometimes. And the kids are a number.
That's well said. 855-839-1210 is how you jump in on the conversation. All right, coming up next, as we wrap up the 6 o'clock, I want to break just a little early here so we can get plenty of time to talk about this story. I found this to be fascinating. A very entertaining read from Politico on here's who no labels should actually nominate. The centrist group should be recruiting who? We'll tell you on the other side. And it's not career politicians that look like and sound like the same old thing. Why this will not work, in my opinion, when we continue. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The sports calendar is loaded, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is making it even more exciting to get in on the action. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $200 you can use to bet on the tournament, Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and so much more. So much to choose from this time of year. Looking ahead to Saturday night, Final Four, NC State at Purdue. I'm taking Purdue minus 9.5, and Alabama at UConn. I'm taking Alabama plus 11.5. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg to make your first bet a big win. Remember, $200 you can use to bet on anything in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHD, and it's America's number one sportsbook. 21 and over, present in PA, first online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we continue, Nick, Dawn, and Greg. Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two. Cut sheet about an hour from now. Tony Bruno tomorrow at 8:30. Dawn will be taking her trip to Italy after Thursday's show. Sean Farish, the great Trump impersonator, will be in for Dawn co-hosting on Friday on Kale and Company.
And then Kathy Barnett,
yes,
at 10 with Vivek Ramaswamy taking your phone calls.
No!
Yeah, Vivek is, they're going to open the phone lines. It's going to be interesting.
Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
How about that? All right.
She's got an all... I might be out of work.
I don't know. Vivek's pretty good, too. Vivek might be taking over the overnight slot if things don't pan out for him in a spot in Trump's cabinet coming up later this fall. But the no labels party is very interesting from the standpoint of there's been a lot of coverage. Like when we talk about people outside of Donald Trump or Joe Biden, we talk a lot about RFK Jr. and we talk about the concept and the thought process behind what the no labels party is and what they are trying to accomplish and what they should be. A very interesting column from Alexander Burns of Politico, who wrote that the centrist group, the No Labels Party, should be recruiting entertainers, celebrities, and provocateurs, not career politicians who look like and sound like the same old thing. Now, initially, before I read this, I would likely agree with that. Like, find something different that cuts through. Don't give me the same old minutiae of the same career political hacks that are either moderate Democrats or moderate Republicans. But it's easier said than done. And Alexander Burns writes this in his column for Politico. He says, shortly before I finished college, I went to a campus speaker and saw a campus speaker representing a group that was trying to foster a third-party campaign during the 2008 election cycle. And he went and saw the special speaker on campus, and that person was actor Sam Waterston, who, as you know, is Jack McCoy, the district attorney from the original Law and Order. And he goes on to say that he was not expecting Jack McCoy or somebody specific like that to run, but he says there is a lesson here for no labels. The heavily promoted centrist group has been trying for many months to concoct a third-party ticket for the White House. It's gathered up funding, hired consultants, and secured ballot access in a number of swing states, and it has driven Democrats mad with anxiety about the potential of an incumbent, or excuse me, an independent centrist who could draw votes away from the incumbent, Joe Biden. What No Labels doesn't have is a presidential nominee, and it's running out of time to find a willing figurehead before the key state filing deadlines pass. And he goes on to talk about how they're looking in all the wrong places. Chris Christie last week on Wednesday said, No thanks. I'm not going to join No Labels. Joe Manchin has long been connected to the No Labels unity ticket. That is come and gone. Nikki Haley never really gained any momentum. That fodder was talked about for about 13 minutes, and she showed that she had no interest. So the writer goes on to talk about people like Zelensky, famous entertainers and athletes, and some of the more showy, the showman-type style politician that we are seeing globally. In Argentina, you have Javier Milei, Beppe Grillo in Italy, the guy in the Netherlands. I always forget how you pronounce his name. Was it Geert Wilders?
Geert.
A lot of these eccentric personalities. And the writer for Politico says most of them look and sound more like Donald Trump or Ross Perot. So the writer says, and he's dead serious when he writes this, there's three people that he would consider. First of all, he throws out Dave Chappelle. Secondly, he throws out Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Okay. It says Lewis here, L-O-U-I-S.
Yeah, it's pronounced.
Have you never heard of her name?
Yes, I have.
She was on Seinfeld, for Christ's
sake.
Yes,
I know who she is.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm reading the name that's written here.
I know, but you should know who she is.
I do know who she is. I'm sorry I didn't use the nickname. We're not besties. We don't text.
But it's how she pronounces her name.
Elaine. Okay. Just say Elaine.
I'm trying to squeeze in an 8-minute article here into a 6-minute segment and get my opinion in and get Dawn's thoughts and Greg's thoughts. Bear with me here, folks. Yeah, I don't have 14,000 producers that hand me note cards. You got all these people. And then this guy throws in Bill Hilsman, a veteran political strategist that helped Jesse the Body Ventura, the independent governor of Minnesota, about 25 years ago. I say all of that to say this. I think on the surface, I'm not opposed to that, but it is easier said than done. Like, we have seen people try to emulate Donald Trump, and I think they have failed, right? Like, DeSantis for a while was deemed like a mini Trump. It didn't work. I think Trump is one of one. The same thing with Carrie Lake. I know she's running for Senate against Ruben Gallego in Arizona, but she tried to be like female MAGA politician. It did not work. I think Trump is so unique. I think he is such one of one. He is such an iconic, cutthroat, cutting through figure. Regardless of whether he serves a second term or not, he's got a place in history for doing the unthinkable. And I don't think it's easily replicated to find another Trump guy. And oh, by the way, his platform, his message, his bombasticness, unless you're going to find that person that is a moderate, that's willing to go after the establishment, this whole endeavor, it sounds easy, but it's easier said than done. I mean, do you guys ever think we will? Because here's what we always hear. Who are the names we hear? Oprah, The Rock, Michelle Obama. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I think some of those people might actually pull it off if they were interested. I really thought, and I said, and I believed it, that if Michelle Obama did decide to, you know, make a swing at it, I think she could win. But this idea that you're just going to find somebody from the celebrity world, I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
This No Labels thing has been around since 2009 or 10. It's been around forever. It's never gained traction. There are people that try and make it a thing. There are people that try and make it happen, and it just doesn't. And I think that they just need to. Everybody is always clamoring, we need a third party. We need a third. The majority of the country is independent and in the middle. Well, whenever there's a third party choice, it never goes anywhere.
They get rejected. Right.
So either we want a third party or we don't, and it seems like we don't, so let's stop.
Well, I mean, logistically, it is tough for the third party. I mean, you talk about ballot access. You look at, RFK Jr. and others that are, even No Labels. I mean, they're not on all 50 states yet. I don't know if they have more access than RFK Jr. does at this point. I think, RFK is around 16 to 18 states, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm of the belief that at some point in America, we will have a third party. I just don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime.
I agree with you.
I mean, 15 years of, this and that, and the data shows it. Who's the face? Who's the voice? Where's the money coming from? By the way, Andrew Yang, give me a break with that a few years ago. I had no shot.
I'm all for more choices. I want more choices. I think the American people should get all the choices they want.
Yeah.
but it just doesn't seem there's this big clamoring for a third party.
No, and currently Democrats in the Biden administration are doing everything they can to block third party access. So we'll see. 855-839-1210. I'm going to text Julia Louis during the break and offer my apologies.
She was on Seinfeld for 100 years.
I got to know around. All right, coming up next, Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two. And then I've got to defend the city of Philadelphia from national pundits in media that just like to take swipes at this city. We'll do that as we continue hour two on the way. Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, and Greg on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.